Good morning. Welcome. Welcome. I'm so glad to see you today. It's good to be in the Lord's house. And so welcome. We've had a great day yesterday celebrating our country's 250th birthday anniversary. And so we're going to continue that thought today as we think about freedom. And that is freedom in our country. We have so many men and women over the years who've served in the armed forces to have provided that freedom to us. We had founding fathers that had a vision of freedom. We had people that came to America seeking freedom. And so our country's built on that. And, you know, the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, whose God is the Lord. And another translation says happy is the nation. And that's one thing our country, we have a lot of happiness. But we also have some division, and we want to pray that the Lord would strengthen us all, that we would be more and more focused on the Lord and bringing glory to His name and more on the pursuit of happiness together. And so let's pray as we celebrate today. But beyond freedom in our country is freedom in Christ. And let's don't miss that. We don't ever want to forget that the reason we're here is because of Jesus and the freedom that He gives us through His shed blood on Calvary's cross, where He died for you and me so that we could be forgiven of sin that we could not take care of our own. Only Jesus could pay the price for that. And then He did not remain dead as He was placed in that tomb, but He rose again on the third day. And we celebrate that freedom from sin, death, and the grave through the power of Jesus' resurrection. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we celebrate our freedom today in Christ and in America. Let's pray. Lord, we come into Your presence humbly before You, seeking Your face, seeking You above all. We want to worship You and You alone. Lord, we're thankful for our country. We're thankful for the freedom we have here that's been provided by so many who've given over the years. And we think about, we often talk about our military, but Lord, just people who do their job every day to make sure that our country keeps going. I'm thinking about the farmers and the truck drivers and the factory workers and the medical professionals and people in church work all across the country and people that own their own businesses. Lord, we're thankful for all the people that do their job so that our country can thrive. And we want to give You glory for that. We're thankful for the service men and women too and all that they've done to give so that we can be free and remain free, and those that are working now all across this globe to make sure that our country is free. I'm thankful, Lord, for the freedom we have in Jesus, and we're thankful for the people that are serving You, Lord, as followers of Jesus all over the world, making disciples and leading people to You, giving testimony. Help us today to do our part in the kingdom of God and in our country. As good citizens, Lord, we desire to be that. Strengthen Joel today as he brings Your word, and each one of us as we hear it, that we'll be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. And Lord, we ask all these things in the powerful and holy name of Your Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, our Messiah. It's in His name we pray. Amen. We've had 250 years of freedom. Let's watch and celebrate. Let's stand together as we celebrate our freedom by singing the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. Sing America the Beautiful with Freedom Song.
Oh, We want to welcome you today. We're so glad you're here. Many of you are here as guests. That lake draws a lot of people on 4th of July weekend. And so we love that. And so there's a lot of people that are here visiting today, and we're glad that you're here and a part of our time of worship. Take just a moment, just a quick little moment, and welcome the people right around you. Welcome.
Welcome.
Make it. Please be seated. Please be seated. Even if we shut them off, they don't care. They're still gonna do it anyway. All right, please be seated, everybody. Please be seated. Don't make me get ugly. It's July the 4th weekend. All right. So the people that have been for 20-something years a part of our 8:15 worship service, you probably haven't seen this in a long, long, long time. The people in the 10:30 worship service, this will be very familiar, but we're going to salute to our armed forces. And if when it's your branch, Navy, Army, Coast Guard, Marine, whatever, when it's your branch that comes down the aisle, we encourage you to stand so that we can recognize you. So, Ken, get us started.
Those that served, and we recognize you today and thank you and applaud you as well. Our offertory hymn today is one that I sang in elementary school. We would do the pledge and we would sing My Country, 'Tis of Thee. So let's stand together as we sing that great hymn of our country. Thank you.
May be seated. Ushers, if y'all will come. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for this celebration. Thank you for 250 years of freedom that not only is for America, for us, but it celebrates all over the world. And it rings all over the world and it shines all over the world. And so we're grateful for that gift that we have here in America called freedom. So we celebrate that today. Most importantly, we celebrate the one who gave the gift. And that is you. We celebrate you because you are our Father and you guide us, direct us, use us for your honor and for your glory. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, bless us as we celebrate and in all things, as we give, as we sing, as we celebrate, as we open your word, in all things, we give you praise and honor and glory. For Christ we pray. Amen.
If tomorrow all the things were gone that I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my God above to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
To be an American.
from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, the sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American voice, and it's time we stand and say,
thank you, worship team, today, leading us in this special day of celebrating 250 years as our country and God's blessing on us as a country. And so, Ken, thank you so much for your leadership and leading us as a church family. And so if you're a guest today, then you might not have the opportunity to say thanks to Ken. So I'm going to say thanks to Ken for you. Thanks, Ken. Great job. All right. Yeah. All right, so Hosea, God love Hosea's heart. We have just kind of started and stopped and started and stopped, and we start back again, and then something comes along. But that's the way that that goes. And so we're going to stop again. Hosea, we'll jump back next week, and hopefully we'll go through the month of July and 1st of August, and we'll finish with Hosea. But today, we're going to be looking at one verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The last time that I preached from this verse of Scripture was actually on July the 4th, 2021. So, 5 years ago, I looked at this verse, and it was kind of like what I did with that on that Sunday was, well, because we're 250 years, I went back for 37 years, and 37 years of preaching, and I pulled out every sermon that I've ever preached over the years that has anything to do with July the 4th or July the 4th weekend. And so, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, on that Sunday, I used it, I called it, this is a diving board, a springboard. And we're going to use this verse as a diving board, a springboard, to jump off into the pool of freedom. And that's what we're going to do. Today, with this verse, we're going to talk about the issue of freedom. So we talked about the political freedom. We talked about spiritual freedom. We talked about the difference between the two freedoms. So here we are on our 250th celebration yesterday and our birthday. And I basically want to do the same thing, but with a much, much, much different twist. Now, I have to admit to you that this is always, 37 years, this is always a struggle for me. It has been for 37 years. And the reason is because when we come to July the 4th or July the 4th weekend, I struggle with what to preach. Why? Because truth of the matter is that the scripture, and I want you to hear the sentence that I'm about to say, and I want you to hear it word for word, and I want you to digest it. The reason that I struggle with this is because the scripture does not primarily, it does secondarily, in a tertiary sense it does, but the scripture does not primarily deal with political freedom in the way, I'm continuing the sentence, don't think about lunch yet. It doesn't primarily deal with the issue of political freedom in the way that you and I as Americans understand political freedom in the modern 20th and 21st century. Did y'all get that? So the scripture does not primarily deal with this issue that we love called political freedom here in the United States of America. Not in the way that we understand political freedom. So over the years, I started looking. We talked about from Matthew chapter 22. Jesus is in a fight, and he's in a fight with the Pharisees. And they ask him the question, do we pay taxes? And Jesus says, give me a coin. They give him a coin. Whose inscription is on the coin? They say, Caesar. He says, all right, give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar and give to God the things that belong to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we dealt with the limits to our freedoms. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we talked about the price of freedom. We've talked about the dangers of freedom. In Mark chapter 12, we talked about God or country or both. And so on that particular Sunday, I believe it was a July the 3rd, probably about 20 years ago, on that particular Sunday, we talked about our dual citizenship. We are citizens of America. Most importantly, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. In Psalm chapter 3, we talked about what it means for believers to bless God with our freedom. And we went through this laundry list, or I went through this laundry list of things that you and I can do to bless God with the freedom that He has given to us here in America. In John chapter 8, we talked about freedom. Talk about truth. Jesus says, and the truth will set you free. In Romans chapter 13, we talked about the believer's correct response to government. So with all that said, it's a struggle because we affirm the fact on today, we want to affirm the fact that as the church, the body of Christ, as believers, we want to affirm the fact that God has given us this gift. All right, so what we have today and the celebration of yesterday, 250 years, folks, that's a gift. What a gift. And it's not just a gift to you. It's not just a gift to me. It's not just a gift to those of us who claim to be citizens of the United States of America. Y'all, for 250 years, this gift has been a gift to the entire world. It has been a light, a beacon of light that has shined to the entire world. We want to celebrate that. That's a God-given gift. At the same time, we celebrate, most importantly, our spiritual freedom that we have in Jesus, because that spiritual freedom is given no matter what your political persuasion. There are believers right now in communist China, and they live under communists and under the rule of communism, and yet they are still believers in communist China. There are still believers in Japan. There are believers in Canada and in Mexico and in El Salvador. And the World Cup has come to America, and they're everywhere from all over the world. And there's believers from all over the world. That spiritual freedom is freedom in Christ Jesus, and it is freedom no matter what your political persuasion. If you're a socialist, If you're a communist, if you're a Muslim under Sharia law, doesn't matter. That freedom in Christ is for everybody. So here's our goal. So Ken and I talk about this. And I always tell Ken, or I told him this past week, we've talked about it before, I'm sure. My rule of thumb is always in these situations is that we worship the giver of the gift and not the gift. Our goal today is to worship the giver of the gift. Who's the giver of the gift? God. So our goal at First Baptist Church Gunnersville is to always make sure that the focus of our attention, the focus of our heart, mind, body, and soul, it's all on God the Father. We worship God the Father, and we celebrate the gift that He has given to us in freedom. So we worship the giver of the gift, God, not the gift itself, America. Let me make that personal. One of the biggest struggles that you have as an individual, forget 250, forget America, just you as an individual. Because you are a sinner, you struggle with sin. I know that you can't act like that in front of your Sunday school class, all right? But just between me and you, I know you struggle. I don't struggle, but y'all do. That was funny. Laugh, please. As a matter of fact, that's hilarious. So we all struggle. And here's one of the struggles that we have as individual Christians. One of the struggles that we have is the worship of Almighty God in our daily lives and not worshiping the gifts that He's given to us. So every day I preach the gospel to myself. And it always starts with worship. Because I want to make sure that the Lord knows the foundation has been poured. And I always say, Lord, today I worship You and You alone. I will not worship anything or anyone other than You. Today, in all that I do, my worship is for You and You alone. I will not worship Janice. I will not worship the boys and their families. I will not worship the grandchildren. I will not worship money. I will not worship the possessions that You've given to me. I will not worship my friends. I will not worship the position as pastor of First Baptist Church. All of those things are gifts that You generously give to me for Your honor and for Your glory, and I will see it all correctly. Those are gifts, but my worship is You and You alone. And what happens to us as believers is we find ourselves worshiping the gift. I don't have time to go through all of them, but let's just say money, which is the biggest one. So how many believers end up worshiping the gift of money rather than the giver of the gift? Jesus said it best, for where your treasure is, your heart is going to follow. That is, you're going to treasure, you're going to live for, you're going to love, and you're going to worship that which you treasure. So what do you love and what do you treasure? And for a lot of people, it's money. So they end up worshiping the gift. And they forget the giver of the gift. Well, the same is true when it comes to yesterday, 250th celebration. And here we are today, the church, the body of Christ, we're here worshiping, celebrating. Well, there will be churches today on one extreme, they will look down their noses at us. They are morally superior to us. And I'm fine with that. But they're morally superior to us. They will virtue signal. They will not say one word about the celebration of 250 years. They will say not one word of thanks to God the Father for this thing called the gift of freedom. They will not say one word about it because they are morally superior. And no, we're not going to mention any of that. Now, then on the other hand, there are going to be churches all over America today that they're going to worship the idol. They're going to worship America. They're not going to worship God the Father, the giver of the gift, but they're going to worship the gift. And we want to make sure here at First Baptist Church that we've got it all right, that we've got it all straight. We worship God. We celebrate the gift. Paul writing to the churches of Galatia was not, let's make sure we understand, he was not in any way, shape, form, or fashion referring to a fight over freedom of a nation 1,700 years in the future. Paul was talking to the church about the difference between being free in Christ Jesus and being slave to the law. You were once slaves to the law. Now you are free in Jesus. So let's be very, very careful today. We're making that distinction. Paul is not talking about America here when he talks about freedom. However, with that freedom of in our nation and now it's on our minds, it's a good time to talk about it. So here's what Paul says. So, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, after he's given this argument, he then says, so Christ has set us free. Now make sure you stay free. Don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So with this argument that the people of God were slaves to sin and death under the old covenant concluded, Paul now transitions to the freedom that we now have in Christ. So the whole point of the new covenant is to provide freedom through the work of Jesus to those who are formerly under the slavery of sin. Christ has set you free. So don't go back to being slaves. And this verse then is the encapsulation of Paul's entire message to the church. God does not command us to possess certain qualities before he recognizes those qualities in us. Instead, he declares that we are saints and holy ones in Christ Jesus. And then he says, now that you are in Christ Jesus, go and live holy. Christian maturity is living out what God says we are positionally in His Son. In Jesus, we have been freed from sin. Therefore, we live as free citizens of Christ Jesus and not as slaves to the law. Why? Because we are free. I don't get a lot of things right. I get that. But I got that one right. When Jesus set me free on June the 12th, 1986, I will never go back to the slavery of the law, ever. And I've been free for 40 years, and I drive Pharisees insane. And I have for 40 years. We're free. Free in Jesus. We're free from the curse of the law. We're free from the condemnation of the law. We're free from the burden of the law. Yes, we still sin, but we are free. And we are free from the penalty of that sin. We are free in Christ Jesus. We also live in a free nation. That freedom inspired, we sang it earlier, a young theology student named Samuel Francis Smith in February 1832, sorting through some music that had been brought over from Europe, and he came across this German melody, and he enjoyed it. He glanced at the words at the bottom of the page, and he noticed that it was a patriotic song. But the song was about another country. So he tapped out the rhythm of the tune, and he began to write the music that we just sang, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride from every mountainside." And that's my favorite part of the song. "From every mountainside, let freedom ring." Isn't that great? He had no idea the mountain ranges that existed in this place that we now know of as America. "From every mountainside, let freedom ring." Yes. Freedom is national independence, and that certainly was on Thomas Jefferson's mind when he wrote and penned the Declaration of Independence. Freedom allowed this country to govern itself, free from English authority. Have y'all ever read about Patrick Henry? Read about Patrick Henry. I encourage you, sometime this week, take a moment, find some material, and read about Patrick Henry. That dude was as big a failure as there's anybody that's ever been. I'm not going to get into it, but man, bankrupt guy, he was a big failure. But once he found his way, and once God led him in the right direction, man. And of course, everybody knows the Patrick Henry phrase, give me liberty or give me death. Probably the greatest words about our independence was on the day before the founders signed it. John Adams said, I don't know if he really was aware, but this is what he said. I am well aware, this is July the 3rd, 1776. I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure it will cost us to maintain this declaration. Let me read that again. I am well aware of the blood and treasure and toil that it will cost us to maintain this declaration. Man, was he right? All he could vision was what he could see right then. And he was right. Richard Stockton was pulled out of his bed, thrown in prison, died 2 or 3 weeks later. John Hart, another great one, read that. John Hart was pulled, well, he ran as a fugitive, and he watched in the woods as his dying wife and 13 children. 13 children. He watched everything was destroyed by fire. And he was a fugitive for over a year. And so here we are 250 years later, and we still have toil, and we still have blood, and we still have treasure to maintain this thing called freedom. National freedom then, and I found this, national freedom then is the exemption from external interference or regulation. It is the power of self-governance. Independent of outside interference, it is self-rule. That is what the signers of the Declaration of Independence had in mind for this country and for its people. The New Testament defines freedom when we yield control of our lives to Jesus. Christ has set us free, so don't live like slaves. And I don't get it, all right? I don't know why, but when Jesus set me free, then that changed everything for me. And I didn't really know at first why Pharisees wanted to tar and feather me. I never really quite got that, but then I started figuring it out and finally realized Pharisees don't like freedom. They hate freedom. And they don't like it when people live in freedom and they can't be coerced and they can't be manipulated and they can't be shamed. They're free in Jesus and they're proud of it and they hold their hands up high and they're free. And I have no earthly idea why any believer who's been set free in Jesus wants to go back to being under the slavery of the yoke of the burden of the law. I don't get that. And I never will. So if you're free in Jesus today, thank the Lord for that freedom and live it. And the same is true politically. I have no earthly idea why people in our country today, we have this freedom that has been given to us by God the Father through these founders and the freedom that we have in this country. Why in the world does anybody want to live under the slavery of socialism or communism or Marxism or Sharia law or anything other than this freedom? I do not understand it. But I could talk about that for hours. And we don't have that. So we live in a free country, and we celebrate that freedom. But most importantly, we are free in Christ Jesus. And today we celebrate that freedom. One of those freedoms that we have, the freedom as America, the other freedom that we have, the most important freedom, is provided to those who repent of their sin and put their trust and their faith in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Political freedom is wonderful, and I celebrate it big. I love the freedom that we have in this country, and I celebrate it today. And it's a gift. It is a wonderful gift that God has given to us. But I recognize the limits to that freedom. That freedom can only give me freedom while I'm breathing and walking and living on this earth. Spiritual freedom that we have in Jesus lasts now, no matter what our political persuasion, and then it lasts for all eternity. And I'm thankful for that freedom. Father, thank you so much today for the freedom that exists in Christ Jesus and that freedom that we celebrate today in Jesus. For those who have repented of sin, put their trust and faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord, that freedom is forever. Not forever on this earth, but forever eternally. Anything other than freedom in Jesus is separation from God the Father and will eternally be in a sinner's hell. So our encouragement today is for everybody. If you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, may you repent of your sin today and put your trust and your faith in Him, because no matter what your political persuasion, eternity is coming for all of us. We're also thankful today, Father, on this July the 5th, this day after July the 4th, for 250 years, a light of freedom that shines in a dark world. So today, Father, we just want you to know how thankful we are for that word, freedom. It means everything to us. Without it, we are slaves. With it, we are free. Thank you, Father, for our freedom today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus is our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ today, you've heard the gospel through the Apostle Paul, you're free in Jesus. You have that opportunity today. So if you've never trusted Him, we encourage you to do that. Repent of your sin. Put your trust and your faith in Jesus. I'll be right here at the front to receive you. If you need to come and join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Turn your eyes. Turn your eyes.
Turn your eyes.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
Quickly, have a seat before we head off to Sunday school, all right? What we got first, Felicia. Is that tonight? Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, tonight at 6 o'clock at First Baptist Church, Albertville, you'll hear patriotic music similar to what you heard today. It'll be three times the amount of people participating and singing in the air conditioning, so come and be there. Get there a little bit early. We'll start at 6 o'clock. There's going to be some worship choir songs. There's going to be some praise team-led worship songs. It's going to be a great night. It'll last 45 minutes to an hour, so I encourage you to come and continue celebrating as we worship the Lord and as we celebrate our freedom.
All right. Great for tonight. Looking forward to that. All right. Family night, Sand Mountain Park, is this Wednesday night, 6 to 8 o'clock. So see Micah Gilmore, our children's minister, if you'd like to go and be a part of that. All right. Anything else? Nope. All right. There was one more thing I wanted to make sure. Maybe I didn't. I just thought that I did. All right. How are we going to close, Ken? Hey, have a great day. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. August 29? August 29. Where's the sign up at? 19. What? 19. August 19th. 1 o'clock. Where's the sign up, Brian?
At the church office.
In the church office. All right. And we'll make sure we get that out there. All right, so put it on your calendar. We've changed the date, August 19, on Saturday at 1 o'clock. All right, that's always a lot of fun. That's a great day. All right.
Tell me what it is.
What?
Tell me what it is.
Golf tournament. Did we not? I didn't say that?
No.
Oh, well, y'all just show up somewhere. Sorry about that, Roy. Thank you. Golf, annual men's golf tournament at Gunter's Landing, 1 o'clock, August 19th. Oh, and bring golf clubs. All right, sorry about that. I get carried away with this stuff. All right, what are you wanting? What are you wanting to say, Warren?
Oh, okay.
You had a look on your face.
No.
you know, all right, let's all stand close for singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you.